I'm going to try to give you a little insight here on some things with everything that's going on with Israel. You see, they're in the news constantly now, and we know how that's going to unfold. But as Brother David said yesterday over at Senior Patriots, things are happening to Israel, and it's starting to put them in a situation to where they're going to have to depend completely on God, because their support is slowly being withdrawn from other nations, including America. And it saddens your heart to see that. You know, it's something that we never thought we'd ever see in our lifetime. But God has other plans, amen? And sometimes that's what we forget. It's not about what we want. If it was about what we want, things would never change the way they ought to. But God has plans, and we are part of that plan. And we've had so much death around here lately, and I've had questions asked me, and I've heard comments made about certain things. So I just thought maybe we'd look at Thessalonians today and kind of get a little hope back in our lives. Sometimes as Christians, I know we get busy, we're working hard, and a lot going on. And I sometimes just feel like we just forget where our blessed hope is and what exactly that means for us as believers. We have an awesome God. We've got a good God, and we just need, I think sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. So when I was reading through this, I mean, I always get a blessing out of it, and, you know, no matter how many times I read it, it's just always nice to know as a believer, heaven's my home, amen? And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. And so in chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 1. If I spit something out at you, I'm sorry. I got dry mouth this morning, so I put a little cough drop in. The medication I take sometimes give me dry mouth, so that helps me to be able to at least say something, right? So anyhow, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, now ye, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now, when we started off right there, the first word, furthermore. In other words, he's continuing on from the thought in chapter 3, where he has sent Timothy over there to check on the church, and he brought back a good report that they were sticking to the faith, so that was a good thing. But he wanted to go on, and he wants to give them a little more in their faith to help strengthen their faith. You know, we start as children, we're on milk, and we have to grow and study and learn. So Paul's going to try to give them a little bit extra here. So let's look on over. Let's just move right on over to, let's go to verse 12. That ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Well, he's talking right there that walking honestly as believers in Christ, we ought not be deceiving anybody, correct? And he also tells us here that we may have lack of nothing. Remember, we was talking last week there that how God blesses us and all of his blessings and being a Christian. So if we backed up a little bit, which we're not, for the sake of time, we're not going to, but he was telling us there that we work with our own hands and do that with that which we're supposed to do, we'll have lack of nothing. But this is where I wanted to get to, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Well, we've got hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? That's where our hope stands. So we're not supposed to sorrow as others do. I know that he's talking about when they pass on. Those who have no hope, if you've ever been to a funeral of a lost man, you see the families mighty, mighty upset. They don't have any hope. They don't have any future hope. Well, in our situation, we do have the hope. And in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now turn over with me to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Can't help but to go through that with the soul winning marathon, with everybody going out there, knocking doors, and trying to lead people to Christ. And with the time that we see, we know that we're in the Laodicean church age. We know that we're living in the last days. We believe, and we're hoping for our hope, the Lord Jesus, to come get his church. And I don't know about you, but I believe that's coming soon. And I just felt like this is very important. There's a lot of people. I know these people in here. I know you're saved. Amen. You profess to be saved. You profess the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of people listening on the radio. There's a lot of visitors that come in. There may even be some here that's still confused. Well, this will help us to get all that straightened out. So in Romans, look at verse 9 in chapter 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all that call upon him. And in verse 13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I'm a whosoever, amen? So when he's talking about over here in Thessalonians, when he's talking about our hope's in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anybody's out here in the world today that don't know Jesus, they can have that same hope. And it's so simple. We just read just how simple it is. You believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Everything else is man-made. You turn your TV on today, and there's all kinds of religious channels on there, and they'll teach you pretty much anything that you want to hear. There's any kind of faith, any kind of religion that you want, but there's only one gospel. And that's why there's such an uproar about the Christians, because we believe that there's one gospel, one God, one Christ, and one way to heaven. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why there's such an uproar. Anytime we're talking about Christians, we're talking, when we talk about Christians, and that word is used loosely nowadays. But when we're talking about Christians, we're talking about followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that believe the gospel, the good news. So anyhow, with that being said, look at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, I've had people tell me that according to this scripture and other scriptures that the soul sleeps. No, that's not what it's saying here. And if we read on, we'll see that, but that's not what it's saying here. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The moment you take your last breath, the angels from heaven are going to come get you and escort you to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Instantly, boom, right there, right now. Now you're not going to lie in the grave. They're going to put this body in the grave. Or they may even cremate them nowadays. I mean, there's a lot of that goes on because it's so expensive anymore. However, either way, the body will still be resurrected. Let me say something to you. When Jesus died on the cross and he paid for you lock, stock, and barrel. He owns every bit of you, body, soul, and spirit. None of it's going to be left here behind on this old earth. And it doesn't matter whether it's been burned up or whatever. It doesn't matter. People say, well, I don't know how is God going to raise a body that's been cremated? How did he raise the body to start with? We go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Where did Eve come from? Where did God create Adam from? The dirt of the ground, amen, from the dust. Now, if he can take the dust and raise Adam, don't you think he can put back dust and put it back to where it was? We just got through singing a song. God can do anything but fail. We got a good God, and he's going to keep us. So just keep that in mind. The soul does not sleep. The soul goes to be with the Lord. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And here we go. The who? The dead in Christ shall rise first. So the dead, the body, is going to rise. It's not going to be left there in the ground. Let me show you something. Go to the book of Job. Go with me to Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. I'm just going to start here in verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Bless God, Job got his request. We've got a Bible now, don't we? We've got those words printed today. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know, now listen to this, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now, what did Job just do? You know how we always say everybody gets saved the same way? Didn't Job just confess right there, God is God? In his heart, he knows that the Lord is God. Now, look what he said in the next verse, 26. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my ruins be consumed within me. Now, do you think there's going to be a bodily resurrection? Sure there is. Job is telling you that even though his body is going to be consumed by worms, yet with these eyes shall I see God. That's what Job is saying. So, folks, these bodies are going to be resurrected, no matter what situation, no matter what condition they're in at the time. They will be resurrected. And look at verse 17. Verse 16? No, 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there's the rest of us. If we're alive, if the rapture was to take place today, you and I are going to be gathered up with the dead in Christ, which is going to go before us. We're not going before they do. But look back at the second word in verse 17. Then we, which are alive. You understand Paul, when he said that, Paul said we. You understand Paul was saying at that time that the rapture could have taken place. That's what his mindset. Now we know that the time wasn't right. But today, we're in the time. We're in the right time. We're in the right period. Everything that needs to be is now. But at the same time, don't you think he was trying to tell us right here to always be prepared, to always be pushing, to always be teaching the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the importance of the good news. That's the importance of our hope. If we go back to chapter 3 here, Paul is teaching them how they should live. And he's also teaching them and showing them how important it is that we spread that gospel, that we can hold on to this hope that he's given to them right now. We're to hang on to that. But sometimes I feel like we've forgotten about our eternal hope. I know we go out through the day and we get upset about things. Things don't go quite the way they ought to go. It doesn't matter whether it's in our personal lives or whether it's in business or whatever it is. We get upset and we throw all this right out the window. It's just like we forgot all of it. Paul, all through his teachings, is always teaching us, it's God first. Whatever state that I'm in, he says, it's always God first. And that's what we as believers today, in the time that we live in, think about it, folks. If the rapture takes place tonight, how many people are going to be left here on earth that's going to hell? How many of our family members are going to be left here? Because we get into self rather than staying in the spirit where we ought to be. We're all guilty. We all do it. You know, I'm riding down a highway. I get into self real quick sometimes. You know, with the traffic that we've got, and most people ought not have a driver's license because they can't drive. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. You know, they can't drive. I don't know how to get a driver's license. But when we are confronted with these things, sometimes it's like we just throw all this right out the window, don't we? Folks, we need to be today. They're going on a soul winning marathon today. They're leaving here today. And every one of us need to be in prayer constantly for these folks. And there's other churches around the world that's out knocking doors and leading people to Christ. It's not like it ought to be, because a lot of churches today have forgotten about their eternal hope. They've forgotten about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're coming to church on Sunday mornings and going through the emotions, but they're not serving the Lord. They're not out knocking doors. They're not bringing children in. I can't tell you what a blessing it is to be in a church that's out gathering up children to bring them in here to teach them about Jesus. That's a tremendous blessing. Sometimes it can be a pain having children running around your legs, right? But what a blessing it is to know that these children are being taught about Jesus, and as they grow up, they do have eternal hope. Folks, the world's in the situation that it's in because they have no hope. From the White House down, they don't have any hope. Our hope's certainly not in Joe Biden, is it? He can't help himself, let alone anybody else. Donald Trump was president. He's done an awesome job. I think he'll still do a good job if he gets reelected, if we get that far. But nevertheless, my hope's not going to be in Donald Trump. My hope's going to be in the Lord Jesus. And at the same time, we got to remember, if he doesn't get elected and they do put somebody out, they might put Biden back in there. I don't know. But if they do, I do know this. It's God's plan. You know, we forget that sometimes. You know, we want everything the way we want it to be. But we forget sometimes it's not about us. It's about God's plan. And things have to take place. So, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, this nation has got to fall. Amen. Yeah, I hate to say that. It breaks my heart. But it's the truth. You can't have a global government with one nation way up here and the rest of them down here. They've got to be on equal terms to have an equal currency. And that's where it's going to end up at. So why am I saying all that this morning? I'm saying all that this morning because there's one in here that don't know Jesus. You need to know him. Not only could your heart stop before you leave this building today, you could be killed in a car accident. You could die of cancer. You could die of anything in the next week. We don't know. You could be struck by lightning. Or the rapture could take place. But either way, if you don't know Christ, you're on your way to hell. And when I was reading through this, I got thinking about the soul winning marathon, and you thank the Lord for all the souls that you know. Because they're going to lead a bunch of people to Christ. You know, we got a good crew. They're good soul winners. They're strong at what they do. And we got a good God, and he's going to prepare hearts. There's people out there that want to go to heaven. They just don't know about heaven. You'd be surprised how many people today has never heard the name Jesus. Never been told. People go to church and been in church all their life, and they've never heard the gospel. They've never been taught, even in church, that they have to be born again. They don't understand that. I was watching a program the other night, and it's really... it's heartbreaking when you see a program and they claim to know God. And then 5 minutes later through the program, they're talking about, well, yeah, they got baptized. They're going to heaven. I'm sorry, but baptism is not going to send you to heaven. But that's how distorted the truth is today. And that's because I think so many of us as Christians have forgotten the glory of God and the eternal hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could just keep a hold to that throughout our daily lives, we're more apt to do what? Spread the gospel. We're more apt to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm just as guilty as the rest of you. We get busy running, doing the things that we're doing, and a lot of times when we ought to be stopping and talking to that one person that you can look at and pretty much know they're on their way to hell. And rather than stopping and taking a few moments and sharing Christ with that person, we continue on doing what it is that we have to do that day because it's so important that we get it done. And it is. It is important that we get it done, but it's not more important than leading that soul to Christ. And a lot of times as Christians, that's where we're falling short. And we can point fingers at the world. We can blame the world for all of our problems, but it's not the world's problems. They're our problems. You know, we came here to this nation and formed a great nation. God brought us here and built a beautiful, wonderful nation right here in America. For what? To spread the gospel. And we've done that for years and years and years. We went right on through the Philadelphian church age, in which we grew up on the very tail end of that, didn't we? We grew up in a time that was transitioning into a Laodicean church age. But we still got a lot of the good. But we've fallen from that because we're not sticking to what we know we ought to be doing. But I just feel like if we would just read this every now and then and understand what it means to us, how much it could mean to another person that's lost and on their way to hell. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Paul's telling them, hey, look, take this right here that I'm giving you and comfort one another with it. No matter how bad things get. You know, we forget that sometimes. No matter how bad it is in our lives. If we get cancer today, God forbid, I don't want anybody in here to get cancer. But if I or you or anybody else in here gets cancer, like Brother Rodriguez just found out he's got cancer, we have eternal hope. I said something about Jeff Cruz last week. Boy, cancer destroyed his body, didn't it? But he never lost his hope. He still had his hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great feeling it is to talk to a brother that knows he's on the way to the grave, and it doesn't bother him in the least because he knows he's going to go see Jesus. And that's where he's at right now with him and many others that's been here. They're in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in the arms of Christ right now. How good is that to have that peace and understanding that no matter how bad it is today in our lives, we can always look towards that comfort that we have, knowing that if it's bad enough that we die today, we're going to be in the arms of Christ. And we know at the last day, at the rapture, these bodies are going to be resurrected again. They're going to be made brand new. I'm going to get this body back, and it's not going to hurt. It's not going to be overweight. It's not going to be too skinny. Not going to be white-headed. Well, it might be white-headed. I don't know what color my hair is going to be. Don't care. I'm not going to hurt. Right now, you get up in the morning, you wake up, and you feel good. You're like, should I move? You know, because you know when you start moving, you're going to start hurting, right? That's what happens to us as we get a few years. When you get up my age, when you get about 39 or 40, that's the way it is. You start hurting, amen? And some of you older folks in here, I mean, I know you got to be hurting. Every time I say something to one of y'all, how you doing? I'm doing all right. I limp along. Wait till you get my age. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Oh, my soul. All right. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now, somewhere along the line, somebody had obviously written a letter to these folks and trying to get them off the correct doctrine and on to the wrong path. I can't see that happening today, can you? I mean, every time you turn a TV on, or how many Bibles do we have today? Over 300, way over 300 Bibles now. It's all the same as this. They're all trying to get you off of the right track. Speaking of Bibles, isn't it amazing out of all these printings of the Bible, all of them are easier to read than the King James? Think about that. Now you tell me that's not the devil. Sure it is. Anything to get you off of the true path. And that's what was happening here. So Paul's writing a second letter to them to put them in the right frame of mind again, let them know, hey, look, all's well, all's good. Look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, up here in the first couple of verses here, you know, we're talking about the rapture. But now these people are not talking about the rapture. Now we're getting into, they're talking about the second coming of Christ. That's when he comes back in glory. That's when he comes back with an army of heaven and brings us back with him. Well, see, people get it confused. They think, it's the second coming. But no, there's the second coming. That's when he comes back. That's what we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. But there is another coming in between that. That's the rapture. Only the Christians are going to see him. We're going to hear the trump. I don't believe anybody else in this world is going to hear that trumpet, except for those that are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're up out of here. We're gone. And the world's going to get what they wanted. They want us out of the way. That's what they're going to get. We're going to be out of the way. Well, obviously they were getting mixed up here. So Paul's trying to straighten them out. Verse 4, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped? So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. That's talking about Satan. He will be revealed in his time. But look right here at verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be what? Taken out of the way. The second coming is not going to happen until we're out of here. That's why we don't believe that we're going through the tribulation period. We can't go through the tribulation period if we're not here. And according to this, we're going to be taken out of here. We're gone. Then Satan is going to be revealed. That man of perdition. That's when he's going to be revealed. It says in verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Yes, that's the second coming they're talking about there, when he comes back. But folks, I don't believe we're going to spend, I don't know if we're going to go through hard times, but we're not going to spend one day in the tribulation period. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it's not going to get bad between now and then, because it's already getting that way. You know, how much persecution are we going to have to suffer between now and the time that the trumpet sounds? I don't know. No man can tell us that. Only God knows that. But I do know this. Are you going to stand fast, or are you just going to swivel up and go away? When things get hard, that's exactly what Satan wants. Satan wants to scare you enough. And I know a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to get scared, and I'm not going to quit going to church. Well, a lot of them quit going to church when the little bug came around called COVID. Scared them to death. And that's something I've never understood why so many Christians are so scared about going to heaven. Because the worst thing that could have happened would be for you to go to heaven. Think about that. And we need to think about that. Because we're preaching Jesus all the time, right? We come to church this morning to get a little something, get a little blessing from the Lord. We come here to grow spiritually. And then the first time a little bug, so-called, comes around, they run and hide. Where's their faith? You know, or do you believe what you say that you believe? If we say that we believe what we're teaching, then why are we afraid to go to heaven? You know, I mean, it ought not be that way. But if we're that way now, what's it going to be like when tribulations come in, hard times come in before the rapture takes place? How many Christians are going to fall by the wayside? I mean, you know, that was just a little demonstration, wasn't it? I've always wondered how you know, the Satan would bring us down like that. I mean, it was amazing, a little bug just brought the whole world to a standstill. Unbelievable. Especially on our part. Because we, above all, teaching Christ and teaching our eternal hope. Now, I know, I heard preacher one day was preaching, and he asked the congregation, he was just preaching up storm and talking about going to heaven. He asked the congregation, you want to go? Raise your hands. And pretty much everybody raised a hand except for one young man sitting way back in the back. And the preacher stopped him, said, young man, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, oh, yes, sir. But it sounded like he was getting up a load to leave now. He's ready to go, but he won't go right now. And I think that's the way most of us are. We're ready to go. We just don't want to go today, right? Folks, if we knew what was on the other side, we couldn't get out of here quick enough. We would be ready. We'd be wanting to pack our bags and head on out of here right now. But God give us the will to be here and the will to stay here so that we can spread the gospel to those that are lost and on their way to hell. Where'd I stop at? Verse 9. Even him who's, and I read that. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they shall believe a lie. So all those who think that they're going to wait till they see Jesus come, then they'll get it right because then they'll believe. No, they won't. They're going to believe that lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Folks, we got eternal hope. And we don't need to forget it. We don't need to forget that. We need to hang on to that. We need to remind each other of that every now. Especially when somebody gets down. Somebody you know gets down, just remind them. It doesn't matter how bad it is on this old earth. We have the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have eternal hope. We have the salvation. And folks, sometimes I just feel like as believers, we're not strong enough in our beliefs that we encourage one another with that faith. We get wrapped up so much in the things of the world today. And it's easy to do. Everything's pressed. You got to pay that light bill, right? You got to keep that AC running. So I know we get wrapped up in what we're doing. But at the same time, we got to remember, no matter how bad it is, it's a spiritual battle every day. Every day, the Bible tells us, every day is a spiritual battle. And we need to bring that forward to our front of our minds every day. Remember, today when I leave my home, I'm in a spiritual battle. It's not just a physical battle. Sometimes we think we're battling just the world itself, you know, individuals. That's not the way it is. We're fighting against wickedness. So let's remember that. I'm out of time. Brother, you got the Sunday school count? 8:29. Well, holding pretty strong there. All right, we're going to take about a 10-minute break. Well, wait a minute. I got another hour according to that clock.